Yeah, they were. They were a little bit different, but you're still doing Penn State, of course, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Still doing Penn State. Yeah.
I mean, I love hearing you on those Penn State football games. I enjoy them every time I hear you.
Well, thanks. And the same thing with the Eagles. That's one thing that's been great about, as you know, about SiriusXM. You can pick up broadcasts all over the place, and I always look forward to listening to how you do a Philadelphia Eagles game, and I listen intently with a good ear because there are certain things you can pick up from a pros pro such as you.
Thank you.
Yeah. I want to
you're just happy we didn't pick up Bill O'Brien.
You know, let's be honest, Merrill. Yes, I'm absolutely.
You know what? I have to tell you, Steve. So am I, because even though I am a Temple graduate, I root for Penn State. I love Penn State, and I thought that Bill O'Brien did such a wonderful job up there under difficult circumstances that I was happy to see him remain at Penn State. That's where he belongs, at least for the foreseeable future. And I am so happy to see that football team surprise a lot of people and seem to have a lot of good things in the immediate future.
Yeah, and believe me, I think you're absolutely spot on with that. And Bill fits in with the culture perfectly here, and I think has a chance to thrive here. Chip Kelly makes the move, obviously, from Oregon to the Eagles. It's not unprecedented that Philadelphia's done this. I mean, Joe Q. Herrick didn't work. Dick Vermeil absolutely did work. Now this. What has been your feel for Chip Kelly without actually seeing him coach an NFL game?
Very, very impressive. He's a winner. He's been a winner every place he's ever been. He's bright. I mean, you really sense his brightness and his innovative ability and his spark. You get that right away. I mean, you see and you feel charisma, and I like that. I like smart. He's very smart, and I'm optimistic. I really am. I didn't know. One of the things that he said when he came in was that anybody who expects the Eagles to start working with the Oregon playbook and simply cross out Oregon and put on Philadelphia is going to be preparing for a lot of things they're not going to see, and that this team is going to be constructed and it's going to be put into a position schematically to capitalize on what they have and what we are able to put together. And I like that. I was somewhat skeptical about Chip Kelly, and that name has come up throughout a lot of the season when it became clear that a change was in the offing. And like a lot of people, I looked at the Oregon offense and said, that's not for the NFL. I don't think there's an offensive lineman who can keep going at that pace. And on the NFL level, it is designed to get quarterbacks killed. But that's not what he's going to do. It will have elements of that, and that's what I think we're going to see. But I like Chip Kelly. I like the way he put together his staff. And really, Steve, I am optimistic.
Merrill, the other part, though, is that is important in the Oregon scheme that he had was that it was predicated on not just speed of number of plays, but also speed at positions. With Jackson and Macklin and McCoy, it seems he has some of those basic parts in place.
He does. He does. But we don't know about the other part of that. The big part of that is the quarterback. I was not surprised that he kept Michael Vick, even though half the world had him leaving. I think what Chip is doing is keeping his options. I think he wants to see what Michael Vick has. I think he wants to see how Nick Foles will work out. That's why he brought in Dennis Dixon, to take a look. But I wouldn't surmise anything. I mean, I have people telling me, Nick Foles is as good as gone. And, I mean, you can look at that situation and say, well, Andy Reid loved Nick Foles, and so does Doug Peterson, his offensive coordinator in Kansas City. Maybe they offer the Eagles something like the first pick in the second round for Nick Foles, if they're really that much in love with him. I don't know. I don't know what the Eagles would do if they got an offer like that. But my feeling is right now that Chip Kelly does like Nick Foles, even though he would have to use him much differently than he'd use Michael Vick, or Dennis Dixon, for that matter.
Well, it's not as if he's unfamiliar with him, because Nick Foles, being a Pac-12 quarterback, mm-hmm. would have been on the scouting report for Oregon to begin with. So he knows what his capabilities are, and I think that that has to be given a chance.
I would think so, too. And Chip has said great things about Chip Kelly. He said that he is a tremendously talented quarterback and somebody he really appreciated when they had to prepare for him. And I like Nick Foles, too. I mean, you can't teach somebody to be 6'6", and he does have a big arm, and he's extremely, extremely bright, Steve. I've gotten to know him, and he absorbs plays very, very quickly, and I think he can adapt to almost any offense. Now, you don't want him sprinting. I mean, you don't want him turning out. I mean, somebody said a long time ago, and I believe this, that if, and very often coaches, as you know, are married to systems. And somebody once said if Joe Montana had somehow ended up in Miami and Dan Marino in San Francisco, both of them would have had very mediocre careers at best. And I believe that, because with Don Shula's drop-back offense, Marino was a Hall of Famer, and Montana was made for the moving pocket and what Bill Walsh used in that West Coast offense. So they were put into the right positions. They are with the right team. Is Chip Kelly going to put Nick Foles into an offense that is built around him and takes advantage of what he does best? We'll see.
And then there's Michael Vick. Is at this stage of his career, this extra year he gets with Philadelphia, can change be good for him just by having different voices in his head, as compared to, with all due respect to Andy and everybody else who certainly did great things with him?
I think so. My biggest worry, Steve, and I've gotten to know Michael Vick very well over the past 3 years, and I truly like him. Here is a guy who was involved in something absolutely heinous, and this is coming from somebody who is a dog lover. And when he came here, I was very personally very unhappy, and then I saw a guy who did everything he could to change his life, and he is absolutely the best locker room influence you'd ever want to see. Everybody in that locker room loves him. He does so much in the community. He has totally repented and changed his life. He has done things for the Humane Society. He goes out and he preaches to school kids about the horrors of animal cruelty. He doesn't try to hide from what he did. He is sincerely sorry, and he's a worker. I mean, he's not somebody who just shows up and lets his natural ability play out. However, the one fear I have about Michael Vick is his durability. Buddy Ryan once said to me, durability is as important as ability, and I think that's true. And Michael has had multiple concussions, and it's been my experience that once players start having concussions, they start having them more often and with less of a pounding. So I'm not a doctor. I don't know what's going to happen. That's my concern with Michael Vick, more than his skill set or more than his willingness to work and to put himself into a position to succeed in what Chip Kelly wants him to do.
And I know, Merrill, in the doctors I've talked with, and you've talked with team physicians over time, they'll tell you you're 50% more susceptible to a concussion once you've had one.
Sure, right. Sure. That's why guys like Troy Aikman got out of football when he did. That's why Steve Young's career ended when it did, although he played late into his 30s, but he spent a lot of years where he really wasn't the starting quarterback. But in terms of actual playing time, it wasn't that many years that he was out there. And concussions finished his career.
You and I, of course, know there are trends that happen in football all the time. The NFL can be a copycat league. So many people have gone on about the read option. Is there only really a certain quarterback that can actually run that? And does that, quote, durability factor come in, as you just spoke of, Merrill?
Sure. Sure, and I heard somebody, it might have been Rich Gannon, I heard Rich Gannon do a talk show, and I heard Rich Gannon say, there's no such thing as a good old running quarterback, and that's probably true, because if you are, look at RG3, I mean, he's amazing. I told people a year ago that if I had the first pick in the draft, he would be my pick over Andrew Luck. Mm-hmm. And because he did everything that Luck did and has even more athleticism, and they're both bright and they're both leaders and they both have outstanding arms, but RG3 can really move. I mean, move like a running back. Now that I say that, I disagree with what I said a year ago. I think Andrew Luck is the guy I'd rather have, because we already saw what happened to RG3. He tore his ACL. He's coming back. He's now had multiple ACL tears. I would say that if he continues to play as he played last year, the prospects for him to have a long, productive career are very slim. I don't think you can play that way and hold up for a long time in this league.
The Eagles, of course, with Chip coming in, also means that they have one of the top five picks in the NFL draft, and then, of course, that dovetails to subsequent rounds. What are some of the needs that you see that they need to address in this draft to allow them to lay a foundation for what Chip Kelly wants to do down the road?
I believe this could be a playoff team again next year, and you're going to have a lot of people say, he's crazy. What's he talking about? He's talking about a 4-12 football team. Steve, this league has changed. It's a quick fix league. We saw Indianapolis go from 1-15 to the playoffs last year. This team is going to get instantly better by just the return of Jason Peters, Jason Kelce, and Todd Harriman. When you take those three offensive linemen out of the offense, that changes it dramatically. And they have Evan Mathews, who's a pretty good player. They have to do something about right guard, because Danny Watkins, to use a word, has been a bust so far. Now, does the new offensive line coach come in and put him back on the right track? Was he handicapped by what Howard Mudd wanted him to do? Maybe. We'll see. But as of now, I only see four offensive linemen. But that's not bad. There are teams that don't have four solid offensive linemen. They have a wide receiver core that is as good as anybody's. The running back department is strong. The tight ends, Brent Celek can still play and play at a high level, and I like Clay Harbor. So I think offensively they could be pretty good. The biggest area of concern on this team is the secondary. The defensive secondary is weak, porous, uncertain. I doubt that they will try to sign Dominique Rodgers-Grimaldi, who seemed to play when he wanted to play. Nnamdi Asamoah has done nothing to look like the player he was supposed to be. I mean, he, at one point when the Eagles got him, I was on the golf course with my wife on a Friday night, and our son was home visiting, and all of a sudden he texted my wife, and my wife said, Nolan just said that the Eagles signed Nnamdi Asamoah. I said, no. I said, he's going to Dallas or the Jets, because that was the word. And when she said, no, he's not kidding, I said, this team's going to the Super Bowl. They just added the missing piece. Well, that piece it's still missing, because the Nnamdi Asamoah, who was supposed to be shoulder-to-shoulder with Revis, isn't. He has been a shadow of that player. And he's getting a big, big dollar amount. So what they're going to do there remains to be seen. But I wasn't surprised that they didn't franchise Rodgers-Grimaldi, and I would not be... I'd be surprised if they made him a real big offer to stay. They may make him an offer, but it's not something that they're going to break the bank with.
Well, in fact, you look at the first two teams that had the picks last year were Washington and Indianapolis. Now, albeit Washington at the sixth and traded up to two. And Minnesota, of course, all three made the playoffs. And that this league is now a quick turnaround league, because you're going to get a schedule that opens the door to allow you to be better. I mean, right off the bat, the schedule does that, and the return of certain players does that. And look, the Eagles were a banged-up football team a good chunk of last season. It played into it, didn't it, Merrill?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And again, the biggest portion, the biggest spot was the offensive line.
Right.
But they stayed healthy in other areas. Of course, they did lose DeSean Jackson, who's a great playmaker with almost half a season to go. So that hurt. But I'll tell you what, this team does have talent. It's not a talentless group. I don't know. I think if it's going to be interesting to see what other teams do. It's going to be interesting to see what Kansas City does. I mean, I've heard people say that there's not really a legitimate first-round quarterback in this draft. Mm-hmm. I mean, we know Geno Smith and Matt Barkley are the two that everybody talks about, but are they talking about them because there really aren't Andrew Lucks and RG3s out there, or are they talking about them because they really believe they're good enough to be in the first round? I know this. In my estimation, neither one of them belongs in the top 10. But because of supply and demand, they may be there. They may end up there.
Right, exactly. Because of supply and demand, it may be their time to be mm-hmm. to be picked that high. If they had been in last year's class, for example, they would not have been. I mean, the last year's class
Absolutely.
Was that. And you know, it's a lot of ways it's a quarterback-based league. But when you look at some of the top quarterbacks in this league, which ones, when you prep a game, you say to yourself, dangerous, admire that guy, who falls into that category for you?
Well, I start with Peyton Manning. He's not bad.
I've heard of him.
I think he's the best I've ever seen. I really feel that way about him. I think he's absolutely amazing. As a little boy, I remember seeing television and films of Johnny Unitas. So mm-hmm. those would be my two, if ever. But I think Peyton Manning is still, the fact that he came back last year off of the neck injury and still played the way that he played, he's amazing. He is absolutely amazing. Certainly Tom Brady is still Tom Brady, although you really have to wonder when you look at what he's done in the playoffs mm-hmm. over the last several years. Eli Manning is still a formidable quarterback. And, of course, there's the two. Well, not two. There's four young ones right now. Not two. Four. There's Russell Wilson. And there's Colin Kaepernick, who have come into the picture, along with RG3 and Andrew Luck. So there, and Drew Brees. I mean, he doesn't deserve a backseat to anybody either. So there are a bunch of. One time, the NFL had a problem because there was a shortage of premier quarterbacks. But that has changed, and I think it's changed because a lot of colleges have gone to NFL pro quarterback type systems, pro offenses. You have a coach in Bill O'Brien who worked with Tom Brady, so you know that Christian Hackenberg is going to be in great hands, and he will develop into, I'm sure, an NFL talent. So they're coming out. They're coming out there. But right now, those are the ones that I think are the best. I don't think I've missed anybody. I am not a Tony Romo believer, and I don't think he'll ever take Dallas to any kind of promised land. I think Phillip Rivers is inconsistent. He just doesn't do it week in and week out. He has his moments where he looks as good as anybody, but overall, I wouldn't say that. I think that Jay Cutler has the physical skills of some of the great ones, but not the intangibles that you look for in a great quarterback. And then, I don't know how I forgot to mention the guy who probably right now, is the best quarterback in football at his prime, at his absolute prime. And that's Aaron Rodgers. I mean, he's absolutely brilliant. And Roethlisberger is a winner, too. He's tough. He's big. He's tough. He's an awfully, awfully good quarterback. But if I had, you know, I'm saying right now, and I love Peyton Manning, but as far as your prime, if I had to pick one quarterback right now, it would be Aaron Rodgers, because he is still right at his peak.
Merrill, an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for giving us some of your valuable time today, and we look forward to talking to you again down the road.
Anytime, Steve. I always enjoy being on with you, and keep up the great work on the Penn State games. And I'll be rooting for the Lions.
Merrill, thanks so much. Merrill Reese.